This is Isaac of Nineveh again with another edition of Hot Wind from the Desert. This is the third part in a teaching that I was able to do here in my house with some visitors. I hope you enjoy it.
So God is good all the time. Jesus is the exact representation of God the Father. He told the disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He didn't say, if you've seen me, you've seen a little part of the Father, but if there's some more theology you'd like to make up about who the Father is, then go ahead and do that. He said, no, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, period. That's it. That was the qualifying standard. And Jesus is crucified on a cross for people, and that's the representation of God that we should have in our minds, not this overlord that destroys people, but one that dies on the cross for people. That's the measure of love that he wants us to carry, and he wants us to release into the world, not some other image that a lot of people have, which I think is the reason why John ends his first letter with, keep yourself from idols. Because he talks about love, 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 love throughout the whole book. And then the last verse is, keep yourself from idols. Because if you've got a different God that looks nothing like Jesus, you're not worshiping the true God. For me, it came in practice and then the theology came later. All right? Some of you might be choking on a lot of what I've said and you're like, it's crazy what he's talking about. I practiced a lot of this stuff first and then I started coming into a place where, you know what? If I sat down and I prayed, and I was in a room, and some people came to me, and they started praying for me, and they started telling intimate details about my life. How did they know that? And why would God want to communicate that to me, that he was doing this? Why would? So I had an experience that my paradigm did not fit. Most people have paradigms that their experiences fit very well. But I had this supernatural experience that my paradigm had no. God doesn't really talk to people anymore. These kinds of gifts aren't really for today. They were for, you know, the apostles and the establishing of the church. But here this guy just told me something. There's no way that he could have possibly known. And then this lady, and now after, you know, 2 or 3 years, and this experience has happened to me probably 400 or 500 times, I'm utterly convinced that God speaks. And when I've heard out of my own mouth things that I could have not possibly known and see people break down in tears, I know it's not me. And there is no reason why the devil would want to do that for somebody. To share God's love with somebody? That doesn't make any sense either. For example, we were at a church service just a couple of weeks ago. And I was looking at this guy. And the word Australia kept coming up, you know. And so I was like, okay, Lord, what about Australia? So I just started writing some stuff down about having a connection with Australia or whatever. And then I was like, okay, who's this for again? And he was like, okay, that guy over there. So I told him, I was like, I just feel like you have a connection with Australia, New Zealand. Maybe a missions call down there or something like this. Right? Totally kind of off the cuff. I didn't spend 15 hours in prayer, you know, fast for 3 weeks, get this one little word. So as we're leaving, the guy comes up and he tells me, somebody told me the exact same thing 6 months ago. And he said that the person who told him 6 months ago had also told him that there would be one more person that would tell him about Australia. And so that was confirmation to me that I had touched God, that I had heard God correctly. And I had given it. But if I hadn't have said it, what would have happened? Where would that confirmation have come from? Or as she says in The Matrix, the thing that's really going to cook your noodle is if you... would I have broken the vase if I hadn't? Would you have broken it if I didn't tell you that you're going to break it? You can't start going in that place, right? Like we do these treasure hunts here where we're praying, we ask God for like a place and a person, what they look like and all this stuff, right? And then we go find them. Now this is crazy. And you show them on the piece of paper, are you the guy in the blue shirt with the arm that's hurt? Is this you? And they freak out, of course. And then you start thinking, well, what if we had just left 10 minutes later? Would we have missed that guy? I mean, all of the variables that go into going where the Lord's leading. So, but I'll get to that in a minute. Are you okay? I mean, somebody fading or whatever?
There's plenty of standing room back here, too.
Yeah, if you want to stand up and swing your arms around.
No napping.
Yeah, mess up your getting over your jelly. So if you want, let's say you want to move into this stuff. Maybe everything that I've said so far, you're kind of like, yeah, that's old news. That's, we kind of got that. We're in a different place. again, I'm just sharing my experience and how I moved from it. So, you know, once people started prophesying over me and they started telling me accurate stuff about my life, then I started really connecting with that. I started to realize, you know, there's more to this than...
Can you give us a definition of prophecy, please?
Prophecy is simply hearing the voice of the Lord for somebody and telling them. And it says it's for edification and for encouragement and for the building up of the saints. This is what it says in the Word. So if someone comes to you and they're like, I just see pornography all over you. You're not prophesying. That's not the way the Scripture says. The Scripture says it's for edification and for building up and for encouragement. It doesn't say to tear them down with it, right? So maybe they did get a word that you're into pornography or something. Then, you know, that's their burden to pray for and intercede on your behalf that you'd be freed from that addiction. Not their responsibility to come to you and berate you with it, right?
So especially call you out. You, stand up, sir.
You in the back. Right there, stand up. Come here. And that when it's been done in that way, I'm sure the heart of the person was in the right place, but it was not in line with the Scripture, with what the Scripture says.
Or execution.
Yeah.
So that's what prophecy is. It's simply hearing what God has to say for somebody and telling them. It's not that difficult. It's not that complicated. Jesus said if you want to enter the kingdom, you have to be like a little kid, right? So why I don't know why we have all these things
there's different parts to giving a prophetic word. It's like there's the revelation, there's the proclamation, there's the interpretation and the application.
Yeah.
So you've got these different parts. It's not prophecy. It's not real prophecy unless you have all of those things in operation. If you get revelation all by itself, but you don't have permission to share it, it's not prophecy. Okay? It's just revelation. Okay? And maybe it's for you or whatever. But it's not prophecy until you have all of those things. And you can also screw up all four of those things. And so that's why you have prophetic words that are not accurate, is because we can mess up. I didn't hear right, I didn't say it right, I didn't understand what it really meant, or I didn't apply it properly. So you see, and there's examples. I don't know if that's going to give. There's biblical examples of that very thing happening.
Then there's the other level. There's the I'm hearing from God what He wants to speak about your life, and you're telling somebody, you know, these are some people call these words of knowledge, not really even prophetic. They just say, you know, I just feel like. You know, you have a calling for missions or something like this, right? And that's just something that, okay, maybe it was just between you and God, and you didn't told anybody, and so it just confirms to you that, okay, yeah. But then there are some times where God will release something through you. If, you know, He created the world with His voice. Jesus never did a miracle without speaking. So Spirit-inspired speech actually has power to change reality. And so when the Spirit is in you and He is bringing forth something, He has you speak it, it can actually change the reality around you. I know this sounds kind of crazy, but this is a declarative word. You know, He told Moses, speak to the rock and the water will come out. It's a declarative. He's just speaking it forth. He doesn't have to hit it, doesn't have to do anything. This is a pretty high level where, you know, you're declaring, and sometimes people who operate in the office of a prophet will say something, and they'll say, you know what, you're going to be pregnant in 3 months. And God is actually releasing the ability, the grace, the power for this to happen through what they said. And if they didn't say it, it wasn't going to happen. I know this is kind of crazy because He wants to cooperate with us. Have you ever wondered why angels just don't fly around and tell everybody that Jesus is the Savior? Why are these Muslims here? I mean, why don't the angels just go around and tell them? They can move a lot faster and they're more convincing, don't you think? The angelic being, hello, Jesus is the way. And yet somehow He has chosen to work with us and through us, not outside of us or apart from us. Sometimes He does. But a lot of times He chooses to work through us. And part of that is this declarative word. But, I'll get into some more of that later. That's it's kind of hardcore. When you start telling people, in 2 weeks you're going to see this. And then you go home and you go, dear God, please do that. Please back me up, back me up, back me up. Especially when they're Muslims, you know, and you're like, God's going to give me 3 dreams tonight. The first one's going to be like this. Ebenezer. And